This is LBC. Message Tom Swarbrick on WhatsApp now on 0345 6060973.
10 to 6, Friday evening, Tom Swarbrick here on LBC. Ladies and gentlemen, means one thing. It just never stops, does it, in the wrestling ring that is the Trump White House. Ringside, as the spittle and blood rains down, is Simon Marks and his American Week.
Tom, we watched the story of two prime ministers play out in Washington this week. One irritated with Donald Trump, but trying oh so hard not to show it. The other willingly offering the American president a lifeline at their mutual hour of need. But we'll get to Sir Keir Starmer and that trade deal in a moment.
As you know from real estate, there are some places that are never for sale.
That's true.
We're sitting in one right now, you know, Buckingham Palace, that you visited as well.
That's true.
Having met with the owners of Canada over the course of the campaign last several months, it's not for sale, won't be for sale ever.
Canadian Prime Minister Mark Carney laying it on the line in that nice Canadian way of his. But watching the body language of the Prime Minister and his delegation on Tuesday, they had irritation etched on their faces as Donald Trump put Mr. Carney through a 35-minute impromptu press conference before their private meeting even got underway.
Canada is stepping up the military. But never say never. Never say never.
Mr. Carney was not only saying never verbally, he was also saying it with his eyes and his facial expressions. When President Trump advanced the entirely false argument that America doesn't do much business with Canada and can manage perfectly well without its supplies, the Prime Minister, knowing that the bilateral trading relationship is in fact the second largest in the world, looked confused and turned his head in silent disagreement.
We don't do much business with Canada from our standpoint. They do a lot of business with us. You know, we have great things, great product. The kind of product we sell, nobody else can sell.
Let's just pause to read the list of American states where the lights would go out and businesses would go dark if Canada ever chose to cut electricity supplies. New York, Michigan, Minnesota, Vermont, and Maine. I'm looking at you while you go and dig out the candles.
Good afternoon, Prime Minister Tana McCharles, Toronto Star. I was watching your face through the meeting in the Oval Office, and I wondered what was going through your mind when the president talked about re-raising the artificial border.
Mark Carney addressing reporters at the Canadian embassy after lunch at the White House wrapped up.
Thank you for your question. I'm glad that you couldn't tell what was going through my mind.
The reporter assured him that we could all tell exactly what was going through his mind, and Mr. Carney disclosed that in their private talks, he explicitly demanded that President Trump knock it off with the 51st state nonsense. I said it's not useful for him to keep repeating the idea, Mr. Carney told reporters, speaking in French, but it sounds just as sensible in English and equally certain to be disregarded by the US president. Canada's leader flew home with no alleviation of American tariffs, but an agreement to keep talking. President Trump, during their meeting, told reporters that some other kind of news was brewing.
We're going to have a very, very big announcement to make, like as big as it gets, and I won't tell you on what. But it's going to, and it's very positive.
As big as it gets, could it be a breakthrough in the Middle East ahead of his visit next week to Saudi Arabia, Qatar, and the UAE? Maybe an agreement to get desperately needed humanitarian aid into Gaza? Peace in Ukraine, perhaps, or at least a ceasefire? Reporters scratched their heads, little wondering that it would turn out to be a limited agreement on some areas of trade with the UK.
Thank you, Mr. President, Donald, and this is a really fantastic, historic day in which we can announce this deal between our two great countries.
Sir Keir Starmer bigging it up on President Trump's speakerphone in the Oval Office, announcing that the US had agreed to drop tariffs on steel and aluminium from the UK, would lower tariffs on 100,000 British-made cars entering America, and in return, the US would secure tariff-free access to the UK's market for American ethanol, beef, and various unspecified agricultural products. The President was fulsome in his praise of the Prime Minister, Minister, but Commerce Secretary Howard Lutnick may have said the quiet stuff out loud. Unable to contain his enthusiasm over the fact that the UK had agreed to open its market to some American products, while America gets to keep its 10% tariffs in place on pretty much everything except for steel and aluminium, he looked and sounded like the cat who had stolen the cream.
We feel really good about the deal. You've heard the Prime Minister. He feels really good about the deal, right? And we started at 10% and we ended at 10%. And the market for America is better.
When a reporter suggested that the deal wasn't really as big as it gets because it keeps those 10% American tariffs in place for the UK to try and negotiate away later, the president pushed back.
This is a very conclusive deal, but we think we can grow it even from that. But this is a maxed out deal, not like you said it. This is a maxed out deal that we're going to make bigger.
We've taken it to the max, but soon we'll really put this baby through its paces. The two men undoubtedly threw each other a lifeline this week, both of them needing a trade agreement to embrace, even if it is only a limited economic prosperity deal, as the Prime Minister is calling it. For all the bonhomie over trade, there was a warning to UK football fans this week. Indeed, to football fans from all over the world. It came from Vice President JD Vance with this lovely message to anyone thinking of coming here next year to attend the World Cup.
We'll have visitors probably from close to 100 countries. We want them to come. We want them to celebrate. We want them to watch the game. But when the time is up, they'll have to go home.
Otherwise, he suggested the Department of Homeland Security would be standing by to deport them. The World Cup is not the only institution bumping up against the Trump administration's hardline policies. So is Christmas. You'll recall last week, the president said parents should brace their children for disappointment this year. They'll have to settle for two or three dolls instead of 30, he said, because he thinks prices will result due to his tariffs. So this week on Fox News, Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent offered some advice to parents on how to break the news to the little ones.
I would tell that young girl that you and your family, thanks to President Trump, can now be confident again that you will have a better life than your parents.
Yeah, that's definitely going to work. To educate the kids further, perhaps parents could show them Mr. Bessent's appearance this week on Capitol Hill, where Congressman Mark Pocan, a Democrat from Wisconsin, floored him with this bouncer.
The question is very simply, who pays tariffs, Mr. Chairman? I'd like him to answer that question.
Congressman, if the exporters, they dislike tariffs so much, why wouldn't they, if I think what you're trying to get me to say.
Did you remember the question? I'm not sure you did. Who pays tariffs?
It's a very complicated question.
Except it isn't, which is why the kids can't have all the dolls. Donald Trump threw more chaff at all of us this week, suddenly proposing to tariff foreign films at 100%, arguing the movie industry outside America is a national security threat to America. No one has any idea how, in a digital world, any of that works. He also said he wants to reopen Alcatraz.
Alcatraz. The Rock. No one has ever escaped from this prison.
Lionized in films, including that Clint Eastwood classic from 1979, the prison is now a museum, one of America's most popular. It hasn't housed an inmate since 1963, when it was deemed too costly and insufficiently humane to continue operating.
It represents something very strong, very powerful in terms of law and order. Alcatraz is, I would say, the ultimate.
Now, let's be clear. He knows the idea is a non-starter. Can't happen, won't happen, not a prayer that it's going to happen. So why would he even suggest it? Well, last weekend, he wanted to create a diversion because he knew the New York Times was about to publish a front-page investigation about the business deals that Trump's two adult sons are securing as they trade off their father's name and power in Saudi Arabia, Qatar, and the UAE, the three countries he just happens to be visiting next week. Also, that CBS was about to report that the Trump family's net worth has grown by $2.9 billion $1 billion since January, thanks to a cryptocurrency investment, a project that CNBC reported this week has led 764,000 other people to lose gobloads of money. And I'll bet my last dollar that far more Americans have heard about the Alcatraz caper than the crypto caper. Diversion. It always works. Except when you put yourself out there as the next pope. The president's wizard wheeze to depict himself via an AI-created image as the pontiff outraged Catholics all over America, a situation he then compounded by suggesting they should develop a better sense of humor.
You mean they can't take a joke? You don't mean the Catholics, you mean the fake news media? Not the Catholics loved it. I had nothing to do with it. Somebody made up a picture of me dressed like the Pope. That's not me that did it.
It might not be him that did it, but he put it out on his social media account and the White House then reposted it. Well, in Rome yesterday, the church had the last laugh.
La pace sia con tutti voi.
Pope Leo XIV emerged on the famous balcony of St. Peter's Basilica, the 267th leader of the Catholic Church and the first American pontiff. President Trump said the election of Chicago-born Robert Prevost was a great honor for America, and he looks forward to their first meeting. It should be interesting, given that when he was a cardinal, the Pope appears to have used an account on X that reposted articles very critical of both President Trump and Vice President Vance. And we don't even know yet, Tom, what he thought of the president's efforts at papal cosplay.
From Washington, D.C., Simon Marks, American Week.